right. Now,
we're always talking about how amazed we are at God's timeliness and the way He brings passages to us, the next passage we come to, and how it applies to what's going on in our life. And that's the case here with this psalm. We read here at the beginning in the heading, "To the chief musician upon Shushan, Edith, victim of David, to teach." To teach. Now this golden psalm of David is to teach that God has given His saints a banner. It's to teach us that God has given us a banner. A banner is a flag. It's an ensign. A banner. And it's to be displayed. He says there in verse 4, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." Now our banner is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, Christ Jesus our Lord. He's to be lifted up before us like a flag, like an ensign. He's to be lifted up that we might look to Christ alone. Look away from ourselves, away from man, away from this world, to Christ only. And here's why. Look down at verse 11 and look at the end there. It says, "For vain is the help of man." You remember Isaiah? We were in Isaiah and he said, "Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?" Don't we trust man too much? Don't we trust ourselves too much? And we don't even realize a lot of the times how we are trusting ourselves by some of the things we say and we do. We don't realize that's trusting ourselves. But he says there, "Vain is the help of man." Here's why this banner is to be lifted up. "Through God we shall do valiantly." Through God. "For He it is that shall tread down our enemies." And now David wrote this psalm back there in our heading. We see he wrote this in the midst of war. It says there in verse 1, "When David strove with Adoniram and with Aram-Zobah, when Joab," that he was fighting under David's command, "when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the Valley of Salt 12,000. Now, David won that victory. He won it. He won the victory in this battle. Saul was the king before. Saul had no part in this. David won this victory. And that typified Christ who wins the victory for us apart from our flesh, apart from man. Christ wins the victory. So our subject tonight is the banner displayed. The banner displayed. And what we're learning here, what this psalm teaches, Christ our banner must be lifted up that we might look to Him to win the victory for us. Christ is our banner who must be lifted up that we might look to Him to win the victory for us. I want to look at three points here. First of all, it's vain to trust in man. And then secondly, Christ is our banner by whom we're saved. And then thirdly, when God makes us look to Christ our banner, we triumph valiantly. Now let's look at these three points. First of all, it's vain to trust in man. It's just vain to trust in a sinner. Any sinner. Me, you, or anybody. It's vain to trust in man. Now King Saul was the king prior to David. And Saul was a sinner who looked to himself. He didn't trust God, he trusted himself. And he represents any sinner who trusts in himself, who trusts in man, whether it be himself or any other, rather than Christ, rather than trusting Christ. Now in Saul, God teaches us that it's vain to trust in man. We see it because while Saul reigned as king, while he was reigning, God worked against the children of Israel. The whole time, God made them suffer defeat and division. when Saul was king. And what we learn from that is, as long as our sinful sin nature is dominating, as long as it rules, like King Saul, you see a picture of sinful man. King Saul was ruling. As long as our sinful flesh rules us and dominates us, it's going to make us look to man. It's going to make us look to ourselves. It's going to make us look to our will and our works and our wisdom rather than Christ. And as long as we're doing that, God shall work against us. He'll work against us. We'll suffer defeat. We'll suffer division. And unless God has mercy on us, we'll meet God in judgment and suffer the greatest defeat of all and the greatest division of all when we're cast out of God's presence. Now, under King Saul, as they looked to man, and as God, as Saul looked to man, and as the children of Israel looked to man, God made the children of Israel suffer defeat in war. It says there in verse 1, O God, Thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. When God's people look to Christ, when we're resting in Christ, the Scripture says, we win the battle by Christ. Do you remember this from 2 Chronicles 20 in verse 15? They were about to go into a battle with Jehoshaphat when he was the king. And the word was sent and said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. They were facing a far greater multitude of a far greater army than they had. God said, don't fear that multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And that's God's word to me and you who believe. The battle's not ours, it's God's. But when a man is trusting himself in this world and in salvation, then he's God's enemy and God's going to fight against him. When he goes into battle, whatever it is, it's a trial you're facing or whatever it is, God's not going to go forth with you and make you win that victory. He's going to show you that by your strength you can't win. And so the result when Israel looked to themselves was defeat in these battles, in these wars they fought. You look down at verse 10, and he says there, he said, wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? That's what he means by casting them off. When they went into battle, God didn't go with their armies. He didn't go with them to fight the battle for them. Brethren, we can't even defeat an earthly enemy except God fight the battle. We can't defeat a carnal enemy unless God win the victory for us. We can't do it. So how would we ever think we could fight our great enemies? Our great enemy is sin. Our great enemy is our sinful flesh. Our great enemy is Satan. Our great enemy is death and hell. How do we think we would ever win a victory against those enemies when we can't win a victory in this carnal warfare unless it be by God? And then God caused Israel to suffer division amongst themselves. In their own kingdom, they suffered division. He speaks of it symbolically here as an earthquake. He says in verse 2, Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. You picture an earthquake and the earth breaking open. And the picture here is of division. Sinners can't create unity between us and God. Our sins have separated us from God, and we can't create unity between us and God. And if you want to see how true that is, we can't even create spiritual unity between ourselves and another sinner. So we certainly can't create unity between us and God. We can't even hardly create unity between just two sinners together. You put two sinners together, and unless God make unity there, there's going to be division. So we certainly can't create unity with God. You take two sinners, and when they're divided, there's one reason. I don't care what the call or what the second cause is and all the back and forth is, there's one reason that two sinners will be divided. One, they're trusting in themselves. Mark it down. When a believer trusts Christ to make his brother stand, when he trusts Christ to teach him and correct him and make him submit to God and follow after God, when he trusts Christ to do this, Christ will promote, he'll produce unity between those two brethren. Why? Because you trust Christ to do it. And he'll do it. But if one accuses another, and one condemns another, and one forsakes another, it's the sure result of that sinner trusting himself. That's right. It's him trusting his own self-righteousness, trusting his own wisdom, trusting his... It's all pride. It's sin. And God will not bless that. God will not... He'll fight against that to make it cause division. So knowing that Christ alone has to reconcile us to one another and make us to have unity with one another, we know it's going to be Christ alone who can reconcile us to God. He alone can take an enemy of God and reconcile us and make us friends between us and God. Christ is the only one that can do that. Under Saul's dominion, God made the children of Israel see hard things, perplexing things, so that they walked about like drunk men who couldn't figure out what to do about it. They couldn't figure out how to fix their problems. They were so perplexing to it. And God did it. God did that. Look here in verse 3. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. You've made us drunk with astonishment. Now, brethren, does that sound familiar? Does any of this sound familiar to you? Right now, in our day, that's exactly what God has done in sending this virus. God has shown us some hard things. People are dying. You have the economy failing. Unemployment higher than it's ever been. God's made the earth tremble. He made the earth. Nations and governments are divided over this thing. Political parties are divided more than ever over this thing. Not just in this country, in other countries. In the Middle East, you got multiple religions just divided against each other. And God's made an earthquake of division throughout this whole world right now. God's made us drink the wine of astonishment. The political leaders have no idea what to do. Economists have no idea what to do. Everybody's walking about, physicians, regular citizens, everybody, like drunk men, astonished, and we don't know what to do. There's one thing we need to do. We need to all together be calling on God. We need to be calling on God. You know, there's only one that can heal us, and that's God. And here we are telling everybody, telling churches, don't assemble. Don't assemble together. Well, assembling before God and asking God to heal us is the only way this is going to be cured. And it's our not assembling and not trusting God is the reason God gave it. That's the reason God gave it. It's because we've been trusting in man. That's why God sent this. It's vain to trust man's strength rather than Christ our strength. And let me tell you something. That's what we do. If we look to government to save us from this thing, let's look into man's strength. It's what we do if we start blaming this party or that party over this. We're exalting man, as if a man in his strength could fix this. It's no different than trusting our own works to save us from our sins. It's vain to trust man's wisdom rather than Christ our wisdom. That's what we do when we try to understand this pestilence apart from God's Word. That's what we do if we start chalking this up to some big conspiracy that's going on in the world. Listen, this is God's judgment. This should be taken seriously. This is God's judgment, His direct hand upon us for not trusting God. Everything we see in this psalm was God's judgment upon Israel for not trusting God, for trusting man rather than God. And what's happening right now in our world is because we've trusted man rather than God. And you would think it would wake us up. It's a proof of our depravity in that rather than it waking us up and turning us to God, we've just become more divided and more arrogant and more proud and look to our strength more and to our wisdom more and to our flesh more. We've done more and more of exactly what it is that caused God to send it in the first place. That's depravity. That's depravity, brethren. Well, how are we going to be saved out of this mess? Christ is the banner by whom God's people are saved. Now look here in verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And God says, now you think on that. This is a verily, verily. This is a behold. This is a Selah. Think long about this. God has given a banner. God gave His only begotten Son. He's the banner. Christ our Lord is our King. God raised up David as their king. He raised him up so that now they're fighting under David's banner and not fighting under Saul's banner anymore. That's the picture here. He replaced Saul and he raised up David now as the king, and now they're going to fight under David's banner. In doing so, they prospered. David prospered, and they prospered in David. And that typifies Christ our King, who God has exalted, under whose banner, under whose flag, we now fight this good fight of faith. Christ is our King. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's the Lord our banner. Now look, God has given a banner. You see that? God's given this banner. How are we going to be saved? It's going to start with God. God gave this back. God gave this remedy. God gave this salvation. He gave His only begotten Son. And God didn't give a banner to everybody. He only gave this banner to His elect. He gave this banner, read it there, to them that fear Thee. Now understand what that means. God did not give us Christ because we feared God. We fear God because God gave us Christ. You get that? We're not them that fear God. We're not. God didn't give us Christ because we first feared God, and so He gave us Christ. No, the reason we fear Christ is because God gave Him to us. The first cause is God. God gets the glory for bringing us to fear Him. God has to give you the fear of God. God gave a banner for this reason, that it may be displayed. You see, the problem we have right now in this world is Christ hadn't been displayed. Christ hadn't been preached in truth. Men have been trying to carve off the offense out of the gospel and take the offense out of the gospel just to get people to show up to a building and give their money and make it look like they got a big church. That won't save anybody. That's not displaying Christ. To display Christ is to preach Christ in spirit and in truth, let the chips fall where they may. And the gospel's offensive. It's, in Galatians, it's called the offense of the gospel. Why? It takes all the work out of man's hand. It takes the choice out of man's hand. It takes the reason for God's saving out of man, and it gives it all to God. It says God chose us by grace apart from anything in us. God sent His Son to save and to work the works because we couldn't work the works. God, the Holy Spirit, must regenerate us and give us life because we're spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins, and we can't believe on God unless He gives us faith to do so. You see, it puts it all in God's hand, takes it out of our hands, so it's offensive. But that's the only way you can display this banner, is preaching Christ in truth. And it's to be displayed, raised up like a flag is raised up. Raised up in the preaching of the gospel. Displayed to one another. You and I are to display this ensign to one another. To turn each other from this world and from ourselves to Christ. I'll tell you one thing that's been such a blessing to me. In the midst of this worldwide trial, in the midst of my own trials, you preach and you preach and you preach and you admonish your brethren to look to Christ and to look away from ourselves and our works and our wisdom and look to Christ. And then you come into this trial and a personal trial, and your brethren do exactly what you've been encouraging them to do. They start pointing you to Christ. And in turning you from yourself, they display this banner to you, Christ Jesus, and turn you to Him. I'll tell you what, that encourages a pastor. That encourages us as brethren one to another. When our brethren turn us to Christ, display this banner before us. And why? He says, because of the truth. Because of the truth. Because God only saves by the truth. God only saves by the truth. He does not save by lies. And because God defeats our enemies only by the truth. And because Christ is the truth. He is that truth. The old translations, some of the oldest translations, they say that last phrase there is to flee from the boat. God has given us a banner to be displayed. He's given a banner to them that fear thee to be displayed to flee from the boat. I mean, like as in archery. The Philistines are mentioned here as some of the greatest enemies of Israel, and they were experts in archery. They could shoot with the left hand and with the right hand. That's good. If you can shoot a bow with the right and the left hand, that's something. And they could do that. And what this is teaching us here is that this banner was given so that the soldiers would see this ensign when they're on the battlefield and they could flee from the enemy to this banner. It typifies how Christ, exalted in the preaching of the gospel, is our one weapon. In this war that we're in. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Let me read this to you. You know it, but let me read it. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Here's what it's so that we flee from the bow. We have one weapon. It's this banner. 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says here, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what this banner represents, our one weapon. Now let's think about how a banner was used in days of old on a battlefield. We don't use it the same now as they used it then, but it was very important in warfare back then. First of all, in the confusion of war, when you're on the battlefield and there's smoke's flying, bullets are flying and smoke's rising up and you can't see and everything's confusing, the soldiers would look to that banner, that flag raised up on high, and they would rally to it. They would rally to it. They would unite beneath it. Christ is exalted in the preaching of this gospel so that God might draw His people to Christ's feet out of this world and unite us with one another. That's what this banner's for. We need Christ raised on high right now more than ever, brethren. We need to behold this banner more than ever. So we look away from this world and all this craziness that's going on to Christ only. And then the banner helps soldiers get their bearings. They could look at that
They could look at that banner and they knew where they were on the battlefield and they knew where they needed to go on the battlefield.
When we hear Christ exalted in the gospel, we get our bearings in this world. We get our bearings. We hear Christ, our guide. We hear Him teach us. We hear Him in the midst of all the voices arguing in this world. And we get so turned around by all the things we hear in this world, we hear Christ speak. And we get our bearings, and He tells us, cast all our care on Him, for He careth for you. The banner strengthened the soldiers so that they could fight and they could defeat the enemy. You remember when Moses held up the rod there where he built that altar, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, his picture of Christ being exalted in the preaching of the gospel. When he would hold up that rod, the Lord would fight for Israel and they would prevail against the Amalekites. And when he would let down that rod, the Amalekites would prevail. As Christ is exalted in the gospel, He fights for us. And He defeats our enemies. He's our strength. You get out in this world, you get to watch the news. Oh, don't watch the news. You got to watch half a dozen different ones now and just try to figure out some little semblance of truth in the midst of them all to try to figure out what the truth is. It's just propaganda. One political party's got their news. The other political party's got their news. Most all of them is against anything that's right. Don't. You get turned around with all that. You get to listen to all that. You start to doubt. You start to fear. And then you come and you hear Christ preached. And He strengthens your heart. He settles your heart on Christ. He settles you to know that He's controlling everything. He's ruling everything. He's doing it for the good of His people. And He's the strength to remove those doubts and those fears. And you prevail against the enemy. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then the banner also intimidated the enemy. When they saw that banner flying, they knew Israel was still in the fight. Satan and all our enemies are afraid of Christ. As long as you're still flying this flag, they know you're still fighting under the banner of Christ. That's why Peter said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. He's saying, flee to Christ. Resist the devil by believing on Christ and looking to Christ alone. And then this banner was raised as a declaration of victory. And brethren, when we hear the gospel preached, the message we hear declared is that our victory has already been won by Christ. The Lord has He said, go and comfort ye my people. Declare to them that the warfare is accomplished. I've rewarded them double for all their sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our warfare, has won this victory already. And He has given us free justification. He's given us perfect redemption. He's given us eternal life. We can never be lost again because of what He's done. So in the midst of all this confusion right now, and we're on this battlefield, and in the midst of all the confusion that's going on in this world right now, don't look to your flesh. Don't be looking to your wisdom and trying to chalk this up to just being some kind of conspiracy and that just something being overblown by one political party or another. See, this is what it is. This is God's judgment for not looking to Christ. So what's the remedy? Look to Him. Look to the banner. Look to Christ, our banner. Flee to Christ. Cast your care on Christ. Turn from the carnal weapons and use this one weapon of our warfare. This is the way our enemies are defeated. In our own heart, in our own flesh is defeated and subdued, and every other enemy. How does God do this for us when we hear Christ exalted? Look at verse 5. First of all, Christ intercedes for each one of His redeemed with the Father. Verse 5, He says, that thou beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. Christ is God's beloved. And all His elect in Him are beloved. Christ pleads God's own love for Christ and for His people. And he pleads God's glory. He says, save with thy right hand. You do the saving, Father. Save with thy right hand. And you know who Christ, God's right hand is? It's Christ. Christ pleads his own righteousness. He pleads his works. He pleads what he's done in glorifying the Father. His blood by which our sins are put away. And God always hears his Son as he pleads for his people, makes intercession. And he delights in him. And then Christ, he's the mediator. So not only does he go to the Father and plead for his people, then he comes to us and gives us a word from the Father. Look here at verse 6. God hath spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. God promised David, and that's a type of God's promise to Christ. In Psalm 89:35, once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. God said, I've sworn by my holiness. He can swear by no greater than himself. He said, I've sworn by my holiness. I will not lie to David. God will not lie to Christ. This is God's everlasting covenant promise to Christ because Christ redeemed his people and fulfilled his everlasting covenant promise to the Father. And God has sworn by himself. He's sworn by his holiness. He can swear by no greater. And since God's covenant promise to Christ is sure and can't be broken, God's promise to us who believe him is sure and can't be broken. And since this everlasting promise is all of Christ's rejoicing, this is all our rejoicing. For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. And here's what Christ declares to us. He comes to us and he says, this is a sure promise from the Father. This is my rejoicing and your rejoicing. And he comes and he tells us this. He says to every believer what God the Father promises him. All his people are going to be called out of this world and united as one in Christ. The Father promises Christ that. Christ redeemed them. He justified them. And the Father promises, you'll have them all. You'll have them all. And there'll be one people. Look here in verse 6. I will divide Shechem and meet out the valley of Sukkoth, and Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of my head, and Judah is my lawgiver. Now these were all tribes in Israel. But under King Saul, they were all divided. Nothing but division in the kingdom. They were divided. That symbolical earthquake caused by man looking to himself. And now Shechem on the west, and Sukkoth on the east of Jordan. Gilead, Manasseh on the east, and Ephraim and Judah on the west. He says they're all united. They're all united. See, man's way divides. But Christ and what he accomplished for all his people, there's no separation. There's only unity. There's only unity. Christ, he's going to call all his elect, Jew and Gentile, and make us all one. Next time you go to the grocery store, and you have to stand 6 feet apart from the person in front of you, just remember this. Look into man's way divides us from one another. That's all it does. Why you have to stand 6 feet away from your person? Because we look to our own way and God sent this virus. Our sin of looking to ourselves rather than Christ always divides. But Christ, perfectly serving the Father, unites us as one. And that's so of all his elect. He's just talking about people in Israel, but that's so of all his elect, Jew and Gentile. He unites them. And then for the Gentiles here, this stands for all his enemies. He speaks of Israel's three worst enemies here. Verse 8, Moab's my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. He's speaking sarcastically. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, which had cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Here's what he's saying. As assuredly as God cast us off when we look to ourselves, as assuredly as he cast men off when they look to themselves, God shall save all who trust his Son just that certainly. You look to yourself, you can be assured God's going to cast you off. You look to Christ, you can be assured God's going to deliver. He's going to save. The battle's not yours, it's God. Did God go with David? That's David saying, who's going to deliver me in here into Edom, this strong fortified city, and who's going to give me this victory? Did God do it? 1 Chronicles 18:1. Let me just read you part of this. After this it came to pass, David smote the Philistines, and he smote Moab. And the Moabites became David's servants, and they brought gifts. And it says, and David slew the Syrians, 22,000 men. The Syrians became David's servants and brought gifts. Everybody listed there that God promised David he was going to slay and he was going to triumph over, David triumphed over. And they became his servants. And they even brought gifts. And you know what David did with those gifts? He carried them all to Jerusalem and gave them to God's people and used them in the worship of God. Now, how does that picture Christ? Christ Jesus the Lord has conquered every single enemy of His people. He's conquered them. He's conquered all His enemies so much that He's using His enemies like a washpot, like a vessel of dishonor. But they're a vessel of dishonor. But He's using them to accomplish His will of calling out His people and preserving His people and glorifying God. That's how victorious Christ is. He's called all His people. He's calling them and uniting us all together from the east to the west, the north, the south. He's uniting us together. Not only that, He's conquered our enemies and He's using all the spoils from our enemies themselves, to provide everything for His people in the world right now. That's what we saw in Ezekiel. What's God doing with this virus right now? He's conquering the wicked reprobate, and He's saving His elect people. That's what He always does. And so let me ask you this, lastly. And don't forget this too, though, amongst those Gentiles, Ruth was a Moabite. He's going to save His elect from among them too. None's going to be lost. Now lastly, let me show you this. When God makes us look to Christ, our banner, that's when we triumph valiantly. The Spirit of God exalts Christ, our banner, in our hearts, and He brings us to cry out to Him for salvation and repent from ourselves. Verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Up there in verse 1, he says, God, You cast us off. You scattered us. You've been displeased. Oh, turn Thyself to us again. Verse 2, Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Brethren, Christ alone is the great healer. He's the repairer of the breach. There's no remedy but by returning to the Lord in repentance, faith, and prayer, and beseeching Him to return to us. But I tell you, when you do that, if you can do that by God's grace, He will turn to you. He will save you. And then you'll be fighting under Christ's banner. And then what's our assurance? What will happen when we're brought to fight under Christ our banner? Look at verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly. For He it is that shall tread down our enemies. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, and I'm going to show you what all this is saying to us, brethren. Here's the teaching of this whole psalm right here. Christ has conquered all. He's called out all His elect. He's calling us out. He's uniting us in Him. He's using all the enemies He's conquered to glorify His name and to call out His people and to save His people. And so, believer, when you have Christ, you have everything. You have everything. You don't have any reason to worry, because all worry is glorying in man. That's all worrying is, fretting, and that's just glorying in man. Now look what he says, 1 Corinthians 3:21. Let no man glory in men. Why? Because all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, that includes the coronavirus. This is for you, believer. He's for you. to save you and to save all God's elect and to keep us in Him and to subdue our enemy. That's what it's for. All things are yours and you're Christ, and Christ is God's. That's the banner displayed. Christ our banner. And I pray that's a comfort. I pray that's a comfort to you. Isn't God's timing perfect? I needed that. Everything's yours. You're Christ, and Christ is God. Don't worry about man. Don't worry about man. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our great God and our Father, help us truly to enter into this. Lord, this is a troublesome time if we look to the trouble. It's a time that will cause us to sink down if we look to the waves. Lord, don't let us look at the trouble. Turn us from that. That's not the devastating thing. You are the one who's able to save and destroy. It's you we need to look to. Turn us, Lord, to Christ our Redeemer, that one in whom we're more than conquerors. Make us to see, Lord, that you've conquered every enemy and that we're safe and secure in you. Make us see that everything you're doing in this world is for us, and everything in this world is ours. And make us rest, Lord, knowing we're as safe as can be. We're as secure as can be. Lord, what's happening is happening exactly as you'd have it to happen. And you're accomplishing your purpose with it. We thank you. We glorify your name. We pray, Lord, that the banner has been displayed, that you get all the glory. Keep us looking to Christ. Forgive us our sins, Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.